Hello. Hello. I'm here. I'm still here. Hi, welcome to Morning Creative, the burnout files. I hope you're doing very well. I'm doing very well. Yeah, should there be any concern, I'm doing very well. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I say I'm doing very well physically. I could be in better shape. I've got a foot that hurts, and I think it's probably connected to, like, my left foot hurts, and then there's a bit of my lower back that is fine, except when I lie horizontal. But it's all, you know, due to the fact that I've got to get myself back out and moving, and not neglecting the parts of the mind, body, emotional melange that that make up a human, and you know, that make up a functioning human. So when we last spoke, I was denying that I was as burnt out as I was, I think. And I'm not sure about the word burnout. It's one of those that we reach for because it's easily accessible. Whether it really defines, you know, my particular experience right now or whatever. What I think has become obvious and apparent, and I've talked about this with friends, and I've talked about it on Convergence, which is a weekly show I do with my friend Brendan. I know that I've spent the last 4 years, and apologies if I've already gone through this. I may have already gone through this, but it was a lifetime ago when I recorded the last episode. I've gone through the last 4 years on, well, 3 years on, how do we put this? I'll tell you what I've basically been doing is trying to build a business, right? So I sold my previous business, and I didn't sell it for enough that meant I could sail around the country or sail around the world or anything like approaching that. It gave me a bit of a runway, which I was very grateful for, and it paid off a little bit of debt. But what it didn't do, which again is something I've spoken a lot about, is it didn't mean anything. I thought it would mean something. I thought it would come with something. I thought people would be interested, honestly. Like, I thought it would interest people, and it sort of didn't really. I thought there would be some authority that came with it, and there sort of is, but you have to tell people, like, it, you know what I mean? It didn't come innate. It didn't come like, Mark, he's the guy who ran a podcast hosting company, and he's, you know, sold it to a bigger company, and, you know, whatever. It didn't, and there's, you know, it could be all sorts of reasons for that, but it didn't really come with any reputational benefit, which I thought might help me in the next phase of my career, if you like. And what's interesting is I've been allowed to learn a lot over the last 3 years. I've been allowed, I think, to somewhat grow into the role that I take, which is pretty much in podcasting, helping people start a show. And I think increasingly I'm more, you know, interested in helping people start a show that is unique. And that may sound like, isn't that what everybody wants to do? But no, not really. Lots of people just want to help people start an interview podcast, and like, that's fine, but like, let's find the thing that makes this different. But that is sort of the role that I have, and at the beginning that looked a lot like editing, and that was kind of the main thing that I was selling, was what I refer to as my mouse clicking. I'm basically just clicking things for money. And there was a bit of like, we'll have a couple of meetings at the beginning. And this is, it's so interesting how things have flipped. We'll have a couple of meetings at the beginning and we'll go over like, here's the tech and here's like, let's get you set up with some kind of basic ideas about who your show is for. And, you know, I had my methodology for doing that, but really we kind of do that in one meeting, one like hour and a half meeting. And then the next would be, let's get you on the tech. And then it would be, let's get you recording episodes. You send me the audio, I edit them, and we'll have a check-in. And kind of that's it. 12 episodes, bosh. And that's fine. Like, and, you know, that's served my clients well enough. No complaints. There's, you know, there's always more we can do. But then over the sort of the months and towards the end of that first year in the business, I started to really get a sense of, A, I actually don't love like just editing all day. But what I do enjoy, because it's different every time, is the other stuff. And also, it turns out I seem reasonably good at it, at helping people come up with, you know, a good concept and being clear about who it's for and all that kind of jazz. And so I kind of flipped things and I started making it much more about the concept of the show and the who it's for and the whatnot. And then maybe there would be some training involved in helping people edit. Or I would, again, in later years or later months, I would go into helping people find an editor, which is, at the moment, I'm sort of stuck for one. Because I can't, in good conscience, recommend the person I was recommending before. People who are, you know, who work to a particular standard, it's not that they're hard to come by, it's just they're hard to verify. You know what I mean? And so, all through this time, I'm trying to build up the business. And I think I have in my head, this is, I think, the biggest thing that I've learned over the last, I think, 5 years, really, since I started Podient, my previous business. Or since I got about halfway through, I think, and you know, maybe even starting it at the beginning, I had this idea. But I very much had this notion that there was an end goal. And that end goal wasn't necessarily like a sale, although that was always a thought within Podient of like, at some point, it would be nice to have an exit. So there was that, but there was always a sense of a destination, always a sense of, I'll know when I've made it when, and everything was contingent on that. And it's stuff that I've talked about in the sort of previous iteration, the previous season, if you like, of Morning Creative. And I think long story short in that, or sort of to jump ahead very quickly, I think I was too burnt out to take my own advice, I'll be honest. And so I kept repeating this pattern of, have an idea, this is the thing, this is the idea, let's move. And sometimes I would start it because it was fun and interesting and novel. And then I would find a way to attach something to it, attach meaning, attach money, attach status. And that would then become the thing I would chase, rather than, A, how do you make the thing the best thing it can be, but also B, very importantly, how can you make it sustainable, which means how can you always find a way to enjoy it? So, again, I'm sorry if I've gone through this before, but I kind of want to set it down now in my own sort of personal, in my own words. And so, yeah, apologies if I've talked about this before, but I kind of just want to get a definitive statement of this down, because I've kind of been practicing it in one form or another with a number of people, and probably on Convergence as well. But back in 2019, I started to establish a pretty good balance. Now, mental health, and my mental health goes in cycles, I would say. And sometimes it can, there can be a bit of a long, slow decline. And then, you know, there is a thing that happens. There is a sort of, and what's interesting is I was editing something earlier, which was helping set some of my thinking here. And the name Morning Creative feels more apt now, right now, than it ever has. Not in the sense of the time of day specifically, but a new morning, as in a new, you know, it's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good, you know. And so with that cycle, I noticed it come around about 2017. I was working very, very hard. 2018, I really, the back end of 2018, like the last 6 months of 2018, I worked really hard. I was in the office. I had an office. I was in every day and I was writing code. I was churning out code. And it was not the best use of my time, but I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it at that point. I was basically not exactly rebuilding the platform, but kind of rebuilding the platform. Because it was, and I've said this many a time before, it's what I knew how to do. I didn't know how to grow a business. I didn't know how to market a business. I didn't know how to really stop and set a plan, which is really all you have to do is actually just have a plan and execute it. I didn't know that I should do that. I didn't know, you know, so I would try a couple of things. I would try just little bits, little almost sketches as opposed to a full film, you know, or little cartoons, single little cartoons as opposed to a full painting or whatever. So, you know, I'd have these little dalliances. And so because those weren't suddenly moving the needle, I was like, well, I obviously don't know how to do this. So I will go and put my time behind something I know what to do. And I know that there is a result at the end of it. And I can feel good and I can satisfy the bit in my brain that says you solved the problem. So I spent a lot of 2018 doing that. And it's not like I was happy. It was boring work, a lot of it. I won't sort of give you the full sort of skinny on it, but like it was dull, repetitive, largely thankless work. At the end of it, though, you looked at this thing and you go, wow, all the lights go green and this is wonderful. Like I basically, the short version is I built a testing system for what I was building. So my code was thoroughly tested, meaning that before it went on to into the cloud, if you like, there were a bunch of tests that were run to say, under, you know, these different circumstances, do these lines of code run and do they run successfully, or are there errors and are you dealing with the errors when they occur, and lots of use cases like that. And so you write code in order to test your code. And so what actually happens is for every line of code you have that does a thing, you have about 5 lines of code that tests whether the thing happened. It's insane. But it's a very good, solid system. But it takes a lot of time. And I was a one-person operation trying to do lots of other things at the same time. But yeah, this ended up just being how I could spend 90% of my time. And I was pretty low. I was pretty depressed. I was unhappy with myself. Sort of, you know, and trying to always trying to improve, always trying to eat right and not quite getting it right, or do, you know, basically punishing myself. I was essentially just punishing myself. And it got to about this time 5 years ago, so 2019, and it's I don't know if it always happens, but I feel like there is a sort of a moment around this time where I started reading a book my brother had recommended, The Chimp Paradox, and it started trying to help. And I started, the combination of that and the changing of the weather as well, which has a big impact for me around this time, I started to get a sense of, I think I want to go out into the world. So this is kind of March 2019. I think I want to kind of, yeah, be in amongst it and get myself moving and get a bit of exercise in. And so I signed up for my gym again, or I think I was still a member at that point because I'd signed up ages ago, and you know, used to go, and then I got back into going again, and started building it into my weekly routine, my daily routine, in fact, because I don't know if I went every day, but I think I might have, because I sort of don't know how any other way to do it. This is my problem. It's one of the things I've got to learn, as we've discovered before. It seems to be daily or nothing for me. But you know, I went and I managed to find enjoyment in it, or at least not always enjoyment, but definitely satisfaction. And you know, I kind of relished it. I appreciated it, and I got into a pretty nice routine. I'd get in the gym. I'd walk to the gym, and then I'd walk to my office, which was, you know, all on the same kind of trajectory, which is nice. And you know, my day would begin, and it was pretty good. And I started kind of venturing out into the world, and like, I'd been doing improv through the back end of 2017, all the way through 2018, and beginning of 2019, I joined. You know, I was invited to be one of the first couple of members of an improv group, and around that time, we splintered from our original group through some political disagreements, and we kind of went on our own, and that was really fun. And you know, started doing all sorts of fun things there. I met someone that I fancied, and we entered into talks, and things sort of moved interestingly in that area, and you know, throughout the year I was out in the world doing stuff, being unsure, you know, stretching the comfort zone, but being able to do it with people, which I think is really, really useful. It's like, knowing that other people have got your back is a really helpful way of being able to stretch that comfort zone a bit. And you know, the relationship thing didn't quite pan out. Towards the beginning of 2020, that was sort of made fairly clear. And I had to sort of draw a line under things and kind of retreated a little bit, gave it a few weeks. And then I was like, no, I'm ready to go back out. You know, I've had this whole year. During all that time in 2019, I wrote a kid's book. I started therapy. I went to, you know, like I did all sorts of fun things. And so when, you know, the sort of romance thing happened and didn't happen, after a brief period of, you know, still not delighted about it, and took a long while to heal for all sorts of reasons, I wasn't ready to give up. You know, I wasn't retracting. I wasn't going back in. I was like, no, you know what? I've done so much work, and I'm continuing to do so much work. I'm going to continue to be out in the world. So I went to a writer's group because I'd had this kid's book, and I thought it would be, you know, sitting in a drawer now, it'd be great to chat through that. With some writers. I went to a singing group, and then Boris Johnson told us that we all had to stay indoors. And so there I am, sitting with my heartbreak, the depression that comes with it, and the mistreatment of the body that comes with that, the self-soothing that comes with that. Because it really hurt, and there's the fear, uncertainty, and doubt of the FUD, you know, the Holy Trinity that came along with let's all stay indoors, you know, around this time 5 years ago. And so what filled the space for me, apart from anxiety and learning the guitar, in the weekends, and
drinking too heavily on a Friday night with people that I sometimes went to the pub with and doing it over Zoom. Everything else was filled up with work because that's all there was, really. Work was everything. You know, when I wasn't worrying about, God, I mean, how much do you remember of that time? Like, worrying about being able to get certain things from the supermarket because people who didn't need to were buying up the delivery slots. Like, people who could drive, people who were perfectly able to go and do a big shop themselves but were too whatever, were buying up the spots so that people who needed them, like me, couldn't, you know, get them. You know, we were only supposed to go out once a week for groceries. And of course, people like me who are a little bit, read rules a little bit too literally, are genuinely thinking, you know, am I going to get in trouble because I've been out two times this week because, you know, I need, you know, I can't get everything in one shop because I don't physically have, you know, I haven't got enough arms, you know, all that stuff. And so if it wasn't worrying about stuff or drinking too much on a Friday night, it was working, and work filled up all the space. And so I buried myself again in a lot of work. 18 months after I'd done a huge, you know, sort of refit, I started on refitting a bunch of other stuff because, again, it was what I knew how to do. It was how I could control things. I had an outcome I could control. I had something I knew how to do. And the business sort of was ticking over okay. I had a couple of people leave, or I would, I think when credit card subscriptions were canceled or were late or weren't working, I was giving people 3 months grace. I said, don't worry about it. You know, we'll give you a sort of payment holiday if you like. I'm not going to come knocking at your door in 3 months' time, but, you know, don't panic. You know, me trying to do what I can. Slowly, and you know, slowly things started to lift. But in the sort of time between things really lifted in 2021, because they didn't really lift until about, what, halfway through 2021, in terms of really being able to move about a bit more and the tier system not really being in effect. I'd sold Podient, and I was then in a position of, well, I've got a new business, I've got to get working. This is very different now because the last 2.5 years, all my income came from subscriptions. So, you know, unless I did something awful, or I didn't keep up with support tickets, or my clients were really my customers were really unhappy, and I did nothing about it. You know, unless I was irresponsible, money kept coming in. I didn't actually have to actively, you know, it's not like I had a client job. That job lasts 3 months, and then off to the next one, and you have to keep, you know, you have to keep doing that. And I very, very quickly adapted to that. And 2019 was a real year of balance. I actually, you know, after having worked so hard in 2017 and 2018 on Podient, I was able to really take my foot off the gas. I don't know what the British equivalent of saying that, off, because taking the foot off the accelerator. Yeah, we'll go with that, because, you know, we don't have gas. you know what I mean, though. Yeah, so like it really did take a bit of a back seat, or at least, you know, it just it there was a rhythm to it, and it kind of just, you know, worked along in the background. And, you know, I'm sure, yes, there were things, there were issues, there were questions, there were whatever, but it wasn't everything. I had balance. That's why, you know, 2019 specifically looms big in my mind, as you know, as much as there were some difficult parts in that, the difficulty came from the fact that I was embracing stuff that was not work. And so when I sold the company and then had to build up the new one, I was, you know, rightfully in the mindset of like, I've got to get business in, I've got to make sure, yada, yada, yada. But we were still in a bit of a COVID mindset, and You know, that would start to lift around the end of 2021 to a degree. I mean, I went on holiday for the first time in a while by myself. I went to Cornwall. I remember being masked up on the train because that was still expected. And there were still some other restrictions around that. But I remember then, you know, and this is not that many months after selling the business, going, wow, you know, that money's largely gone. How am I, like, I was, you know, I spent the first couple of days trying not to worry about where the next money was going to come from. And one of the things I forgot to do during all that time was be kind to myself, and properly kind, not just, you know, this was a young business. It just started. And like I said from the beginning, I thought the sale of Podient would mean something. I thought there would be a carry-on. I thought there would be a reputation. I thought the 400-odd customers that I had, I would be able to say, hey, this is what I'm doing now. Can I help? You know, and maybe I wasn't explicit enough in that, and maybe I felt a bit, you know, in hindsight, I might have felt a bit squeamish about emailing them because I felt like they weren't my list anymore. And I think maybe there's a part of me that was worried that if I did that, I would jeopardize the sale. But also, I think there was still a part of me that probably felt a bit embarrassed or a bit imposter syndrome-y or a bit whatever. So I didn't, you know. I'm pretty sure I never sent, you know, that email to say, this is what I'm doing now, which, or maybe I did. I don't know. I certainly had a mailing list and I ported it across, but I don't know if I was ever really explicit. And I think I'm a product guy. And so I kind of moved them around thinking about a different product rather than like what I, you know, primarily do now, which is consultant stuff and, you know, meh. You know, we make mistakes, mistakes happen, that's fine. But through all that time, work was everything. Work filled all the spaces. And I think I've kept that mindset because part of it through, I won't say necessity, but an idea of necessity, a conception, not conception, a perception of necessity, which is an awful prog rock album title, The Perception of Necessity. Blah. So yeah, I had that perception. Like I've got to do this. I have to just focus on work. I have to make work everything and then fit other stuff in when it screams. Or when, you know, when I have no other choice, or, you know, when it starts to gnaw at me, that's when the other stuff can come in. And there's, you know, there's still no space for like just taking myself off to the cinema or really, you know, looking after myself. There's just there's no time. There's no time. No, can't do it. No time. And I, you know, the interesting thing about looking back at, you know, we can always look back at past decisions and past choices and stuff, and we can criticize them. But there's kind of little point in doing that because the choices you made are based on the information that you had at the time. It doesn't matter whether that information was quote unquote right or wrong. The fact is your perception is all you have to go on. That is the only thing you have. There is no objective truth. Like, I'm sorry to get all, you know, matrixy on you or whatever, or philosophical, but there is no objective truth. There is only each person's individual perception of that truth. And my individual perception at that time was danger is lurking. You need to, you know, get the work in. You need to do this. You need to market yourself. You need to have a thing that you can market. You need to be, you know, interesting. You can't be desperate because that's not marketing. That's just desperation. You know, you've got to have a thing. You've got to have something that is appealing to people that makes them want to work with you, all that stuff, because, you know, you don't yet have enough people who are going to have enjoyed working with you that are then going to recommend you. You'll have one or two and that's fine. You know, you do a good job and then maybe someone says, I'll, you know, let such and such person know about your work and whatever. you know, and you follow up lots of leads, and some of them lead somewhere and lots of them don't, and, you know, all that business. And all through this time, I was like, I have to have a thing, I have to have a product, I have to have a something. Because, again, like, I'm a person with lots of needs, as we all are. You know, one of my needs is to be useful, to be valuable, all that kind of stuff, to be needed. But there's also a need to perform. And there's a need to make. And there's a need to create. There's a need to connect. There's a need for community. There's a need for collaboration. And I was trying to find ways. Like I said, work filled up all the spaces. I was trying to find ways in which work could provide all of that stuff. Which, you know, takes us to Podcode, which was the next thing that I started working on. Which, you know, just as with Morning Creative, started life as a simple idea of you should have a blog where you talk about, well, you should have a podcast where you talk about podcasting. And I was like, I resisted it because there were already too many, and there are now too many more. And I was like, yeah, so I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna start doing that. And then I, you know, as I do, I just got excited and I started all sorts of things. I had lots of fun in the summer of 2021 before I went on holiday, building things, creating things. I had this Podcode Plus. That was how I was going to make my money. And it was going to be this sort of Netflix of podcasting, you know, resources and all sorts of stuff. And every time it didn't work, I you know, tried to come up with so many different reasons why. I spent so much time building a community, like a community platform where people could join and have discussions and talk. And like, it was beautiful and elegant and it looked great and it worked great. And, you know, there were maybe five or six customers, you know, that I knew then, and that was nice. I couldn't really crack any more than that, but I kept trying and trying and trying, and I was working on all the information that I had at the time, and all the perception that I had was like, this is the way to go. I've got all this knowledge. I know there are certain fundamentals that if I just wish people knew, then their podcasting life would be a lot easier. And I played around with different pricing methodologies and pricing ideas and packages, and there were courses and there were weekly check-ins that you know, sometimes people would come to, sometimes they wouldn't. There were, you know, people starting to wonder, what am I actually paying for? Because I thought there would be a community. You know, I'd sold this at the end of 2021. I'd come back off holiday, I'd got everything ready to launch, and I'd, you know, told people, you know, gave people a 50% annual subscription for people who joined on the webinar that I did that introduced it. And I had a few people who joined, and then after a while, it's like no one else joined. So the people who did join thinking there would be a community there, it's like, well, no one's here. Through all of this, I'm like, okay, well, multiple tiers. And I'm telling you all of this to try and, I kind of want to, like, low level, give you a little bit of that, like a taste of that anxiety, angst. I kind of want to give you a little taste of the effort that I was going through and how much I was churning around all of this. And this is all sort of 2021. 2022, around this time, I have a pretty neat idea. It was like a month earlier, just end of February, I think, 2022. I was like, people have talked about doing one of these, you know, we were all doing them. We all do these cohort based courses, you know, it's however many weeks and however many people. And we run through some modules together and we have some calls and there's some video content. And right. Cool. Came up with a great brand, as I often do. I came up with a brand, as I often do. And I think it was a good brand. It was a good name. It was called Unmute and it was part of Podcode. And it was going to be this flagship program. And again, you do the, you know, I did the numbers. I was like, okay, well, if I get this many people in, charge them this amount of money, this seems like a fair amount of money to charge. And, you know, I can really help people learn this stuff and you know, get really set up on a for a show that is going to do really well for them. I can teach them the editing. I can get them completely set up. And, you know, if we have like 12 people in a cohort, that's 11 other people per show that's going to help you amplify and you know, get an initial audience and some cheerleading going. And so we're kind of going to build a bit of a network, and we'll have a showcase. Like, I had this idea of a showcase at the end of the course where I would invite people from the podcasting press who, you know, I'm still lucky enough to know, you know, and be on first name terms with, and they are on first name terms with me. It's not, you know, and, you know, from the old Podient days, and that's wonderful. And, you know, just sticking around in podcasting for so long. And I was like, you know, I can invite all of those people. They can come and you know, if people want to bring industry people along who maybe, I don't know, want to help fund the show or help get the word out, all that kind of stuff. Like, and it, on paper, it's all great. All great ideas. Couldn't get the signups. Tried really hard and got advice from people. Like, I sought advice from, like, when I say so-called experts, that's unkind, but you know, from people I trusted, who are often very good at giving you advice and giving you cheerleading and pushing you. And this is something I've said before, and it's a problem with a little bit of the culture that I've been in for a while, is they're really good at cheerleading, and if you're like me, you are sort of risk averse, but also very much you want to just jump into things, and you're looking for people to tell you. I mean, I kind of was looking for people to tell me why not to do it, but I was very open to people who were saying, no, you should do it, and you should do it sooner, and you should do it more, and you should do it bigger, and you should do it louder. And I'm like, cool, these people have faith in me. That's why, you know, that's why it works. Like, these people believe in me. These people, and the truth is, not really. They just want to live vicariously through you. Like, they want to see your success. Yeah, they kind of, maybe it's a, they believe in the idea, but theoretically, not practically. Like, yeah, it's on paper, like, with no investment from me, I mean emotional investment, it all feels like a good idea. So yeah, you should do it, because I don't lose anything by you not do. I don't lose anything by you doing it. So you should absolutely do it. And I'm like, cool, great, I'm going to do it. And then I do it, and then it doesn't go well. And, you know, I can't find the people. I can't find the signups. It's not working. You know, these people who are in my network, I'm asking them for their support. And it's like, yeah, sure, I mean, whatever. And then, it, you know, it comes to the crunch, and you're like, yeah, it didn't work. And people then have advice for you. Like, well, you know, how did you think about this? How did you thought about this? And it's like, Mother Hubbard could have used that 2-3 months ago. But of course, 2-3 months ago, you just wanted to watch the story unfold. And again, like, none of this is malicious. None of this is based on any kind of, like, everyone's doing their best. Everyone's trying to help to the degree that they can. But the motivation's very different. And, you know, there's no risk to them. So it's just a story that's unfolding. Every week, they get to jump on a Zoom call and hear about what crazy thing Mark's doing, what he's shipped. And that's the, oh, it's a little, it's cute. Mark's shipping again. You know, Mark's making a thing. Oh, look, oh, doesn't he jump into action? And it's all lovely. And we care about him and we cheerlead him. But when it comes to the crunch, it's not like they're not there, because they are, but it's, they're there with hindsight. And all the lovely hindsight is there. And it's like, it's by definition, that can't help. And so I'm resilient, so I pick up the pieces and I try again. And I end up writing this, because one of the big things about launching Podcode Plus, you know, this paid community, this paid sort of Netflix of podcasting, which again, you know, is it one or is it the other? Yeah, fine. One of the things about that was going to be a really good comprehensive course on editing using Descript, which is the software that I often use for editing podcasts. So that was going to be a whole thing, like, and I finally got that shipped. I, you know, and I created like a really cut down version of what Unmute was going to be. And I'm like, I can sell this to some people, to the few that were interested and were like, yeah, I'm ready to sign. I then say, okay, here's the thing, you ready to sign? And they're like, ooh, yes, suddenly I don't have the money, even though it's half the price or a third of the price of what? Yeah, no. And it's like, this stuff's hard. This stuff's really hard. And so that doesn't quite work. And so summer of 2022, I decide, you know what? I've given Podcode a good shove. I've given it a, you know, just over a year. It's obviously not the thing. I've given it a good go, but it's clearly not. Okay. And so I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, I need to focus back on the core business. I need to get work in. I've taken a loan out in order to fund in order to aid my mental health, because I took this loan out so that I could concentrate on building Podcode at the time and not have so many of my mental cycles being taken up with stress about money. That was kind of the thinking there. So it was like, you know, if I get this loan, then I can buy some time, I can work on the thing stress-free, and then, you know, that will become a problem for future Mark. Spoiler alert. So yeah, you know, I end up having to close shutter Podcode. And I then try and focus back on working just, you know, freelancing, consulting, editing, you know, taking the work. And all this time, I mean, I'm very aware of like the space I sit in here. Of at no point did I, you know, go stacking shelves in a supermarket or whatever. You know, there's people who have started driving for Uber and Lyft and even, you know, delivery services. I mean, those options aren't open to me. And, you know, maybe I would have done them if they were, because it's very handy for that kind of gig kind of work. Maybe that would have been really helpful, but it, you know, wasn't available to me. But, you know, at the same time, I wasn't going and getting a job somewhere. I did want to stick with, you know, I did want to keep my autonomy, and I was prepared to pay the price for that. So we get into, I guess, you know, 2022. I mean, some other stuff happened in 2022, which is bleak, which had an effect on what I was thinking. In that time, I kind of wanted to pivot into helping neurodivergent people feel like one of my things, I think, as a fairly intuitive person, as an emotive person without any formal training, is I think I have an instinct for just being with people and being with a problem and sitting with it, and I think that has value. And I kind of wanted to do that for people, creative people who were, you know, who identified as neurodivergent. And so that, you know, doesn't quite work. I end up just, you know, going back to trying to get work in, and I, you know, I managed to. I pick up some good work and some sort of mostly steady work. I'm now having to start to pay back this loan. And 2023 hits last year. So, you know, this is the year of my 40th. And I kind of think, you know, I really want to grab 2023 and grab my 40th by the short and curlies. And I'm still in this mindset of big goal, big hairy ass goal, like set a big goal, something to work to, you know. And I had that with Podiums. I, you know, maybe I haven't been explicit, but like I absolutely had that with Podcode. It's like, I want to be up there. I want to be one of the main people that people come to when it comes to learning podcasting or that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, again, I go into this like, okay, goal setting. Where do I want to be? I want to earn, I just like set this number. It's like, I'm going to set the intention that I'm going to earn £10,000 a month. Like, that's just, I'm putting it out there. That is what I've decided. I think during this time, I think it's useful to bring up. I as I mentioned, you know, during the pandemic, I'd started learning the guitar. And I went through about 2 years of that. And then halfway through 2022, working on Unmute, I kind of decided over a walk, I was like, I need to quit the guitar lessons. I need to put that on hold because I have to focus everything. And so we are narrowing the field of what is in my life. Because again, work fills the space. And this little space that I was allowing for myself, learning the guitar and, you know, practicing most nights, mostly practicing because I wanted to show up well for my Saturday session. I didn't want to show up, you know, having not practiced. Now, once or twice I did that when things were really tough. But for the most part, I wanted to make sure that, you know, I'd made some kind of progress. And I, you know, I eventually was just like, I'm going to knock the guitar on the head because I need to focus everything on work. Everything's got to be on work because it's got to work. So I'm now in this mindset. It's 2023. I'm turning 40 and everything is work. And I set myself this £10,000 a month goal and I start speaking to people who know things about business. And I think I have a plan. And then a very smart person comes along and says, no, you don't have a plan. you have nothing. You have nothing. You have, that would be a good idea. You know, that's something that I want. And that's what you have, that you don't have a plan. And, you know, I can help you work on a plan and that's great. And so I'm like, okay, I kind of get knocked back a bit, but you know, but then I sort of think, okay, well, you know, I'm working on this new thing, the Helpful Podcaster. I knew I didn't love the name, but I kind of just stayed with it because it's like, it's really descriptive. My idea of what a helpful podcast is a particular thing. There's a formula there. And so I'm just going to go with it. And so, you know, that's what I started working on. And like, that was going to be the new thing. That was going to be the thing. And it was, what was it going to be? Was it another community? and courses and stuff. I think it was, yeah, it was a couple of different things, a couple of options. Each one of these over time was starting to see a little less definition and a little more, I want. Do you know what I mean? Like, each one is becoming a little less defined, a little blurrier, and more focused on kind of, you know, what I want to achieve, what I want to get. So I do the 40 thing, and I do the, you know, working on the Helpful Podcaster thing, and I'm churning out podcast episodes, and I'm writing, and it's all okay. I spin up this little circle community and there's a bit of discussion happening there. I haven't really, well, I know what the kind of idea is for making money from it, but I know I'm not there yet. And then I go on holiday to Malta. And I take a couple of weeks. Oh, I take a week and, or like 5 days, whatever. And on the plane ride home, plane ride? Doesn't seem right. But on the plane journey home, my brain sort of has this moment where it just goes, you know what you really enjoyed doing? You really liked working on Podium. It was something you knew how to do. It was something you knew how to control. You need that again. And you need to be able to do something that you really enjoy. You've told yourself for the last 3 years, like, you're not supposed to do that anymore. You're not allowed to do that anymore or whatever. Like, that's not what you're for. But actually, it's what you're good at. It's what you understand. You know, yes, the market's moved on a little bit from then, but you can do that again. And by the time, like, halfway through the Uber journey on the way back from the airport, I'd come up with a name. And kind of the brand mascot, like, I knew what the mascot was going to be. And I also, you know, I also knew the tech and I also knew the, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I, you know, I spent the entire plane journey, I've never, like, first time I've ever really done this. I'd listened to a podcast for a bit, and then I got my phone out, and I basically spent the rest of the, 4-hour flight, or however long it was, tapping away at my phone and brainstorming, well, you know, writing this whole thing and coming up with the idea. And, you know, even so far as like, well, I want to plant trees based on, you know, various aspects, or based on like listener minutes or something. Like, I knew I wanted to do that. I knew I wanted it to be around, like, sort of central, like, instead of just one price for everything like I was doing before, like, you know, different pricing models. It was going to be more expensive than Podient, because part of the problem with Podient is it was too cheap and it was way undervalued, because it was one of the, technically, it was one of the best hosting services that was around at the time. Like, I have very little compunction in saying that, or that's the wrong word, but very little, you know, problem in saying that. From a technical perspective, having evaluated, you know, what else was around, and from feature set, it was one of the best. Certainly from building your podcast website, no one has bettered it yet. No one has created a more flexible way of being able to build a website for your podcast. No one. Apart from like Podpage, which that's the only thing it does. If you bear in mind, podcast Podient was a whole hosting service as well. If this means nothing to you, no worries. But like, I could be pretty confident in saying this was world class in terms of the stuff. So I knew what I was talking about. But it was way undervalued because psychology. So I was like, I'm not going to make that mistake again. And I start basically the next day, and probably actually, if I'm honest, like probably the day of, like I probably unpacked, sat down for a bit, played with the cats, and then was like, right, let's get to work. Wasn't necessarily like writing line one of code, but you know, certainly over the weekend really got started. And for about 3 months, I worked really hard on it. That was my thing. That was the project. And I created the brand and did the everything, and it was lovely. And I recorded episodes. So I did a show, you know, previously, which is very much like this, where I just talked into the mic. And it was called Inside Bramble. And I just chronicled the, you know, what I was up to each week. And I built it up and moved a bunch of shows of mine over, and then I decided in November to tear it all down. I got to the point, and again, we're seeing cycles of, you know, Podcode was a year. The Helpful Podcaster was 6 months, if that. Bramble was 3 months. Starting to see a thing here. It's like Xenu's paradox. And so I stop, and that takes us to really a few weeks before I start Morning Creative, because I'm like, I do need, like, you know, I want a little side project, but again, work fills the space. I am still in this mindset that everything, that work is really the only thing I have. It has to fill all my needs because there isn't a world outside. I'm still in that mindset for whatever reason. Like, part of it is fear, because I'm like, if I'm not working, if I'm not finding ways to generate income, or if, you know what, if I'm honest, if I'm not producing effort, then I'm not allowed to spend much time doing anything else, unless I get to the point where I'm just like, I'm really tired, I need to, you know, then it becomes like rescue rather than just, you know, natural kind of self-care. It becomes like, I really need to rescue, you know, I have migraines and, all sorts of stuff. And so we're near the end of the Bramble journey, and I decide, like, I've missed having a kind of show where I just speak to the same person every week and we just talk about stuff. And that's what we're doing with Convergence, and it's great. And, you know, we don't just, it's not just two guys chatting, whatever. Like, we are talking fairly deeply about our businesses and about our emotional aspects of these businesses, and what does work mean, and all that kind of stuff. And that's still going. And thankfully, Brendan is now editing it. And I will probably do this forever. Like the honest fact of it is, you know, when it comes to podcasting, if someone else can do, you know, can help with certainly the editing stuff, like I will bring it every week and, you know, always, because it's just like, that's no effort to me. And maybe it is for other people, but for me, you know, I haven't looked at the clock, but I know I've been going, I'm going to guess about 40 minutes. My screens have turned off. There we go. Right. I've been going at the moment for 55 minutes. Wow. There you go. And I haven't let up yet. And hopefully I'm still, you know, making sense and I'm weaving a story, weaving a narrative, right? That is a thing that I'm able to do. And I can do that with another person. I can shush and let them talk. That's absolutely not a problem. And, you know, can be a dialogue and I can do that till the cows come home. And so that's great. And so like a few weeks into that, I have this crazy idea to do morning creative. I'm like, I want to do the daily thing again because I've really enjoyed the daily thing before. And, you know, no promises, no whatever. Let's just give it a go and do what I do. Bought domain names. I think I started it up. I think I may have recorded episode one, like the day I had the idea, got it all spun up. And it was like the last couple of days in November, in fact, if I remember rightly. It was like, yeah, literally like a couple of days into November and then we get into December and, you know, I record a whole month's worth of December, do, you know, no breaks or, you know, in one, I did the Christmas to New Year's period in one sitting. I think, you know, they were fairly short and that was fine because like I knew it was that period. So, you know, not many people would necessarily be listening, but I wanted to sort of be there for anyone who might be. And do it all in January. And in January, I'm like, okay, you know, we are going big now for reasons. Like the reasons being, to be honest, the reasons started fairly nobly. Like just, I think I had some good ideas of what this could be, how I could be really helpful, come up with, like, because what Morning Creative was like this, a very casual conversation. And it was never longer than half an hour. and that was great and that was fine. And then I was like, that's not enough. That's not good enough. That's, you know, you can't sell that to strangers. And herein lies some issues. And potentially some unhelpful beliefs. It's one of those things, it's like, it may be true, but also does it help? You know what I mean? Is it helpful to believe that this would be unlistenable to a stranger? Now, I don't actually think that's true. But not the market, but experts who, again, you know, I have a kind of a brain that defers to people, you know, if they're successful in their field, I tend to assume that they're going to be right about most things. And so I just got slightly distracted. So yeah, I started working on this new format and, you know, so I was kind of writing a little bit in the morning. So I'd go for a walk, I'd listen to the previous episode, and then I'd sit down and I would bullet point out an episode and I'd deliver that and I'd record it into Descript and I'd edit it and, you know, pretty much out the door. Again, you know, wasn't taking too long to put episodes together. I mean, you know, previously I could be done with a morning creative episode in like half an hour. You know, if the episodes were 20 minutes, it would take me less than 10 minutes to do everything else. Like, it just didn't take long. But then, you know, there's the whole other aspect of this, is it's not good enough in this age to just make a podcast. You have to go and market every episode. You have to go out and tell people. You've got to satisfy an algorithm that's hungry for content, that's, you know, and deliver stuff. And it can't just be, here's the latest episode, go and check it out. It's got to be something that's unique and viable in it, and native to the platform, which means then you've got to make something that's right for Twitter, you've got to make something that's right for LinkedIn, you've got to make something that's right for Instagram, you've got to make something that's right for TikTok, you've got to make something that's right for YouTube Shorts. But that's okay, because I can do that. Because I know I'm building something big. I know I've got a good idea, at least. I know I've got a good idea. And that good idea starts to grow, and I start to think there really is something in this. I actually think there's good work here. I actually think I'm being helpful. I'm coming up with a new thing to think about every day. That's a lot of content. That's a lot of value. And then you weigh up, you're like, you know, there's probably going to be days where it's not as valuable, but hey, I'm showing up every day. But, you know, there's a new concept. There's a new thing for you to think about every day. This is good work all the way through February. I'm now doing, I'd gone from like 2 hours a day to I'm now going to spend like 4 hours a day because I'm going to write my episode, get it ready. I'm going to record it live. I'm going to live stream it. That was the same thing. And then I'm going to edit it quickly and then I'm going to get it out. And then there's going to be, that was the last 2 hours. And then the first 2 hours where I'm going to market the previous episode and I can do this and it's all fine because I'm not tired. You're tired. I'm just figuring out how to make it all work. And yeah, I know I used to walk in the morning, but I can't do that now because like I've got to get started on the day and I need to get a bit of a head start because, you know, I've still got clients and stuff. But they won't be around forever. Like, I don't need to, because, you know, I've got a plan now. Like, I'm going to give this thing a year. I'm going to really put wood behind the arrow for a year and see what happens because I really think if I work hard enough, if I try hard enough, if I just bear down, knuckle down, I reckon I can get an audience. Maybe not this year. Maybe not. Well, I'll set a goal anyway. I'll set a goal. I know I talked about not setting goals. I know I shouldn't set goals, but I'm going to set a goal. And I know I told people not to look at their stats, but I need to look at my stats because I've got to have this goal and I need to know if I'm, you know, moving correctly towards this goal because it's a really good, you know, it's a big and important number because if I can hit this number, then I can really start to monetize and then I've got all sorts of options and then I can live happily and I can just do this every day and I don't have to do anything else and it's going to be brilliant. And all I've got to do is just keep going and keep grinding. And you can do that for so long. And then your feet fall off. And your bum goes weird. I don't know. You collapse, you know. Or you something stops you. You meet, you know, this immovable object meets an unstoppable force. Or however the phrase goes. And that happened. And the problem with burnout, my flavor of it at least, is that I find it, and maybe it was easier when I was a little bit younger, maybe it was easier a couple of years ago, but now, and I think it's just because of the cycle, you know, if we think about these decreasing cycles, you know, if we go thinking about Morning Creative for the last 2 months, you know, we've gone from a year's project to a 6 month project to a 3 month project to a sort of 2 month project. Again, you know, we're reducing the cycles each time. And yeah, I went, oh shit. The tank's empty. Like, I'm done. I can't squeeze any more out. My cup is empty. You know, all of the metaphors, they're all there. I don't have anything left. But it's okay, you know, because my job is to be there for people and I can talk about it and I can be honest about it and that's all fine. And that is all fine. So, that is the story of the last 4 years. 5 years, really. And I have no goal. And I keep catching myself every now and again because I've got a new side project. I'm back doing List Envy. I've recorded 4 episodes now in the last 3 days, and that's been fun. And I started editing one of them yesterday, and I was like, oh, this is fun. I enjoy this. I was originally going to do it in Descript, but I quickly was like, nope, I am making certain decisions. I am not, I'm just not going to do stuff that makes this hard. I think the hardest thing that I'm doing is the newsletter, and that's just because it's a bit fiddly and it's a bit writey. You know, I've got to do a bit of writing. I've got to gather lots of images and put them in. But that's only, one job a week, and hopefully that's not too hard, because I enjoy the rest of the sort of research process of the show, if you like. But I think, I love List Envy, I want people to hear it, and I think people will enjoy it. You know, it has that kind of appeal. I think, if you enjoy me, not for, this amount of time, not uncut, but if you enjoy, me, and you are just curious, then hopefully you will enjoy the show. But it's a tricky one to position, because who is it for? Honestly, it is for anyone. It's the thing that we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to say that. We're not supposed to say this podcast is for everyone. I mean, it's not, because obviously not everyone's going to like me. Not everyone's going to be the kind of person who likes to dig into top 5, things. Not everyone's got that kind of pop culture kind of finger on the, what am I trying to say? Like, finger on the pulse, yeah, kind of person. And I actually did. I did this as an exercise a couple of years ago as part of Podcode. Podcode Plus, I actually did an audience avatar thing for this show, and this is workoutable. There is an archetypical listener that we can point to say this is the person that we're going to market the show to. But I just want to make the show, and that's kind of been a refrain for me for a long time, and I've kind of denied it. And it's one of those things where I have to come to terms with. If that is the case, and if I love doing the show, if I genuinely enjoy it, then that has to be the motivation. Because if I start doing the marketing and that becomes unfun fairly quickly, then this thing feels like a millstone, whereas it should be a gift. So I've got my little side project. I'm going out fairly regular. I mean, I was shattered on Friday. I'd had a week, and it was a good week. It was just very, very busy. And I was like, I'm really dog tired, but actually, I do want to go out and see this comedy act, because I'm back into live comedy after having gone having done the stand up course, And the weekend before, I went to the cinema and I watched what ended up being a rubbish film, but it was like, it was nice to be out again. It was nice to sort of be out in the world. And I'm pleased I get to go and do that on Wednesday. I get to go out into the world and go and watch some live comedy again. And it's just going to be lovely. And I'm starting to bring balance back. Oh, yeah, 2019, by the way, was the year when I started List Envy. Got into, August. Yeah, it was August when I launched List Envy back then. So I'm really kind of cycling back to it and bringing some balance back. And so, again, as I've said, previously, what this means for Morning Creative, I don't know. It might be that I pop up when I've got a good idea. Like today, I just thought, this is something I want to talk about. And that might be what we do. That might be our agreement together. I don't know. There are still 70-odd episodes there that are pretty good. So this might just be, this might be just for now. But again, I'm making no promises, because I have no appetite for that anymore. I'm burnt out on pulling myself towards a goal. I think I'd just like, for now, to focus on doing a good job for my clients. Being able to put the... Because, by the way, through all of this, 3 years of trying to build a business, 3 years of trying to build what I have now, kind of works. I've got a little bit more work than I can handle. And I think for the most part, I'm doing a good job. There's some stuff, you know, I want to be able to take off my desk at some point. That'll be good. But it'll, you know, that'll happen. And it'll take time. But there is no big goal. I'm not trying to make myself the anything of anything. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to make myself the Netflix of whatever. I'm not really even doing any marketing. Because for now, I want to do good work. Work that I'm proud of. Work that's, you know, that's useful. Doesn't have to be the most, you know, doesn't have to be a superfluous, not superfluous, doesn't have to be a superlative. You know, it can just be good work that is valuable, that people, you know, want to pay for and fills a need. And then I get to put that away and play some games, do some exercise. That's a thing that's, you know. So actually, you know, on that, like today I was sort of, I'm at the end of, I think, well, I hope. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see how things go. Again, no promises. But like, it feels like the end of a cycle of self-soothing. The end of a cycle of, you know, putting stuff into my body that is not the best for it. You know, and not moving it. This is another thing, like my friend Anna has this thing about shaking the snow globe. Like I'm just not shaking the snow globe at the moment. And while I'm not shaking the snow globe, I can hear and I can see and I can notice what's around me, and my body's going, cool, are we ready to, like, you know, move and get up and do some stuff and maybe get a bit healthier? And I'm like, yeah, I think I've got everything I needed done. You know, like I needed that self-soothing. And I think I've had enough in a good way. And I think I'm ready. Just, again, like no promises, but no big hairy commitments. Like I said right at the beginning of the year. And no recriminations either for, you know, because again, like I said, we can only make decisions based on our perception. And if our perception's clouded, if our perception is influenced by all sorts of factors, all sorts of limiting beliefs, you know, helpful or unhelpful beliefs, if that's what we're operating, if that's the universe we're operating under, if, you know, then the decisions you make at the time can only be the right ones for the perception that you have. So it's not really fair to go back and judge, because you're judging now with a different perception that you had then. You only had the information that was available to you at the time. So I'm not going to spend a bunch of time going, well, you know, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't, because like the version of me that perceived what he perceived in the world made the best decision he could. So it's not about right or wrong. You know, he made the best decision that he could. He made the best go of it. He did his best. And one of the things that I think is important about balance, about trying to think less about, well, you know, trying to let work or let whatever take up less space, part of that is, it's this idea of balance. It's the notion that you stop the snow globe, you can listen to your needs, you can listen to, you can hear a little bit clearer, you can see a little bit clearer, and you can, you know. Yeah. So you can hear me grinding to a halt. It has been an hour and 15 minutes, pretty much. I've really appreciated being able to speak at you for this time. Thank you for allowing me to do so. And I hope there's some, you know, there's some stuff in there. I mean, yeah, I feel, I mean, one of the difficult things I have with this kind of stuff, and here we go, yet again, a false ending from Mark. One of the things I sometimes struggle with is what can feel very self-indulgent. So I'm always trying to find a way that this can map to another human's experience, you know, so that there is something to take away from this, that it's not just me talking about my life and how frankly easy my life is. But I've, you know, managed to find a way to make it difficult. All right, that'll do it. Chat to you soon, hopefully. Thank you. This has been, it's been a lot. It's been great. And we will do this again sometime. Much shorter, I'm sure. So until next time, take very good care of yourself. And I look forward to having another chat with you soon.